Shame in Our Game, the podcast. Does the podcast care how your home feels, not looks? The podcast just cares how you feel.
Yes.
Yeah. I am Lacey. You're obviously recovering from respiratory stuff, host. Here with Sarah. Hey, Sarah.
Hi, Lacey. I had a fun thought this morning. Sorry, I'm just diving right in. The whole no shame. So it was 3 fun-loving degrees at our house this morning. And our bus stop for my son is at the end of the driveway. And we do have a long driveway, but we usually walk to the bus stop. Okay. I saw the number 3 and I was like, nah. This little voice inside of me was like,
don't be so lazy. Walk down to the bus stop. It's only 3. You'll be fine.
And I was like, no, I'm going to have to talk that shame voice down off the ledge. Because you know what? I want to be warm and drinking my coffee in my car at 7 o'clock in the morning. So I realized, no shame. I love that we've expanded our scope. And I want to say for anyone listening, there's no shame in driving to the bus stop when it's 3 degrees outside.
There's no shame here. There's no shame at all. You can hear it in my voice, the struggles of respiratory illness in our household the past few weeks. And because of that, I wasn't able to attend the recording for the rest of the content, the most part of today's podcast. It was just Sarah and our guest, Teresa. So I'm super excited to listen to it like the rest of you. Sarah, is there anything else you would like to say before we jump in?
I just want to lean back into that no shame. There is no shame in learning how to breathe. Yes, I know it's automatic. Yes, I know we do it all the time. Yes, I know. But we're all about providing tools that are helpful. So before that little judgment voice in your head goes like, I know how to breathe. You don't have to tell me how to breathe. I hear you. And it's a very useful tool that I will tell you at the end of this, after the interview with Teresa, I will tell you how I have been using this tool very successfully since Teresa and I interviewed. So open mind and little Easter egg for the end, or cliffhanger?
Teaser.
Thank you, Lacey, with the words. A little bit of teaser to stick around to the end to hear how I have been using this breathing tool.
I mean, if there's anything a respiratory illness does to you is appreciate breathing. So couldn't come at a better time for me.
Do you like how that lined up? That was beautiful.
Awesome. Then let's just jump right in and learn about breathing with Sarah and Teresa.
Today's topic I'm calling No Shame in Learning How to Breathe. We are bringing back, well, we're kind of reintroducing for our loyal audience. She was a guest in, was it season 1, Teresa?
No, I think it was 2.
Season 2, we had our guest, Teresa, who is also a dear friend of mine. And I'm bringing her back on as an expert to teach us how to breathe. Thank you, Teresa, for taking time to join us today and to help our audience. I'm noticing I'm already starting to rush because I'm excited. I'm like, oh, wait, I need to breathe.
I'm doing the same thing.
If somebody's listening and you're like, oh, I'm going to turn this off. This doesn't apply to me. I know how to breathe. I invite you to listen, to learn how to breathe in a different way that is a useful tool. And the way this came about was Teresa and another No Shame guest, Aaron, we have a Marco Polo group. We call it our triad. And Teresa was doing a guided, well, she was explaining her breathing meditation. And I was driving to work. And listening to Teresa, I started to do what you were guiding, the breath. And I realized I was so relaxed driving to work. I actually thought I should pull over. I am so relaxed right now. But I made it to my parking spot and I parked the car. I could have honestly closed my eyes and gone right to sleep. I was so deeply relaxed. And I immediately thought, yeah, breathing intentionally is so important. And I think it's really easy to overlook as a tool. And the reason your guided meditation grabbed onto me was because you were explaining physiologically the science behind it. So anyone who's going, oh, that's woo-woo, I'm here to say, Miss Teresa is going to give us some science today. Not too much. Don't worry. You don't have to have a medical degree. That's Teresa's very special talent, is she's bridging the gap between this complexity of our bodies and systems and understanding the importance. So, Teresa, I just said a lot. Why don't you say what's on your mind right now?
I love that you and Lacey are doing No Shame in Our Game. And I've thought of it actually in the context of bridging that gap for clients. It's true. We can learn a lot about our bodies and not feel ashamed that we didn't know it before, but that maybe right now it's helpful. And so it's kind of like in that little sweet spot that I use my anatomy and physiology. I would just call it passion. Like, I love to learn about that and have since I was a small person. And I use it with my guests at a day spa. People will come in and they'll not know something about their body, and there's no shame in learning about it. And we can do it in a quick minute, and then you can still have a session of relaxing that is typical for being at a day spa. I have loved that I'm in that situation. And so you caught me on a day when I was personally having trouble regulating, and we were talking about, boy, it's really important to be regulated in our nervous system in order to go on and do our stuff. And that was a trigger for me. I'm like, gosh, I'm so dysregulated today. Thank you, Erin. Thank you, Sarah, for reminding me I need to regulate myself. And for me, it's good to go into the breath work. And it doesn't always work for me. Like, even though I know so much about it, sometimes I'm like many women my age, I can't sleep through the night. So I wake up and I'm like, shoot, how am I going to go back to sleep? And I'm like, well, why don't you try your breathing thing? And I don't stick with it, so it doesn't help. And other times it helps me 100%. So I would love to teach people at that mindset of there's no shame in adding a layer of anatomy physiology and improving your already existing meditation practice, jumping into it for a first time, being like, maybe I'll give it a try, you know? People talk about this. Maybe I should try it. And I'd love to like layer on what I see as another way, a way into our bodies. So, yeah.
I love all of that. And before we get deep, I want to still stay wide for just a minute to give people more buy-in. Maybe they could relate to some of the things I'm going to say. So one is I think about how every time I go to the chiropractor, he always gives me a little bit of a ribbing on, hey, do you remember how to breathe? Because is it my scalenes up in my shoulder? Is that what those are called? Yes, in my neck. Somewhere, he said, you're really tight. He said, you're breathing up in your shoulders. He always reminds me to breathe down lower. And so I know it's important for how it's actually, because then the muscles get tight and then it affects my bones and then they get out of alignment, right? So there's this ripple effect. And then I've also just noticed I hold my breath a lot. I start my day, I put 1,000 things on my list when really probably 7 is realistic. Really 3 is realistic. So I just start holding my breath. And then there'll always be this moment in the day where I realize I'm breathing really, really shallow, you know, and it doesn't feel great. And so this to me, it's a tool in your toolbox. Like Teresa said, it's not going to work 100% of the time. There really aren't silver bullets in this life. But when you feel dysregulated, and we can talk about what that word means because some people may not resonate with that. It's another tool that you can use to feel better. So let's just think about it that way. It's a tool. It's an easy tool. And I love that this is our first episode in January because to me, we're going back to that basic of breathing, right? That's the first thing we do when we're born is we just breathe and we can still keep learning how to do it. So I want to start in the conversation so people understand the importance. Can you talk about dysregulation in the nervous system? Give us like the simplest, like you're talking to somebody in the grocery store, like the simplest explanation of nervous system and dysregulation.
I love words and I love breaking them up. So regulation, being regular, dysregulation, not being regular. We think we maybe have heard fight or flight versus rest and digest. So dysregulated means you're out of regular rhythm with, I feel like we need to fill in the blank, calmness, right? So it's unfortunate that we just say regulate. It's like using an abbreviation that doesn't quite tell everybody what we're talking about. Parasympathetic, sympathetic, and essentially, I'm going to reference Lacey here for a minute. Those are two parts of the autonomic or automatic nervous system, which Lacey has referenced because she has trouble with that in her body. An automatic means we don't have to think about it. The body takes care of us in this way, but we do have some agency around it. We actually can pause and be in our body and make some choices about whether we are there or not, basically. With massage, you have the opportunity to reset a lot of things, including your breathing. When you regulate back to calm in your body, you tend to make an impact on your muscles, like your scalenes. So understanding anatomy, physiology, the nervous system is a big project. And hopefully I've said some things that like resonate with people. I think we should stop there for just a minute. Tell me how that fits.
Yes. Well, so for our audience, I think this will help give this context is you taught physiology to massage students, correct?
Anatomy and physiology.
Anatomy and physiology. Yeah. So I used to say to you a lot in Marco Polo is like, give me the freshman version. So what I'm going to do is take everything you said and I'm going to say, so our nervous system in our body, you always say gather, process, respond. So the nervous system in our body is the part that's gathering the information of everything that's going on. So the dog is barking, the alarm's going off, kids are yelling, right? Your nervous system is gathering all of that, or you're smelling burnt toast, right? So if you're dysregulated, then that nervous, you're heightened, right? Like your nervous system is like taking it all in. Does that sound accurate?
Yes.
So then to be calm would be to let all that input, you're going to then purposely and intentionally like calm all of those inputs down to a baseline. Does that feel like a okay summary?
Yeah. And that's a great place for us to like put a pin in it kind of thing and also just like re-summarize it. But thank you for saying my gather, process, respond analogy, because the nervous system is a whole system. It's complicated. Right. So when I say gather, it's our senses, our five senses, like simply that, are gathering information from the outside world. And then somewhere in our body, there's going to be a processing experience that's in our brain and in our spinal cord. And then we respond with that information that's been processed and we take a step.
Right. Yeah.
We respond. And I'm going to say this. I love saying this. If someone knows more than me, I would love to hear more so we could figure it out. We have three kinds of muscles. We have our skeletal muscles. We have our heart muscles. And then we have something most people overlook and don't know enough about called our smooth muscles. So you can take it to the bank from me, who knows anatomy and physiology, that our five senses are processed. And then we respond with some muscle action that creates a response. So we can then like now actually practice this sort of thing. You talked about gathering. We heard the noises. We smelled the fire. And we saw an angry face. Five senses. Our brain processed that. That means something to us. So then we respond. We run. Use our muscles. Our heart goes faster. And then adrenaline pumps. Smooth muscle is found in places that release. It's in the microscopic parts of our body, essentially. So blood vessels. Anyway, now I'm going varsity on you, I think. So can we stop?
Yes. And I think the way I want to bring it back to that freshman interpretation is what I heard you say is it's all connected. So why are we talking about the breath? Because it's all connected and we don't even realize it. And we don't have to get a medical degree just to know your breath is connected to everything. And to think about this in a very tangible way, why do we want to learn this tool? Because the respond part, I was just at some family gatherings where I was witness to some responses that were coming out of a very heightened nervous system. And I've worked for years to not respond from a very heightened nervous system. It's not easy. I am not saying it's easy. But what I've noticed is if I respond from a heightened nervous system, not calm, I often am not proud of what comes up. So I've trained myself to walk away. And then this is where the tool comes in. Walking back to freshman level, anyone listening who's like, okay, breathing's a tool. Okay. So throughout the day, our five senses are taking in a lot. And so we get to intentionally use a tool to calm ourselves so that we can respond as our best selves.
Life doesn't come with an instruction manual, but it should come with people who've got your back. That's the Joyful Support Village, where self-help meets community support. Get access to courses, worksheets, and step-by-step resources that can actually work for your real life. Join daily conversations where people share what's helping them. Connect in regular gatherings with experts and others in the trenches of life. It's where you can stop trying to figure out everything alone and start moving forward with support that fits you. It's free to start, and paid memberships begin at just $10 a month. Join us at village.joyfulsupportmovement.com to join. Give what you can, take what you need. See you in the village.
What I'm going to do now, and if anyone's curious about more of this, Teresa loves to talk about this. We could do a whole hour of question and answers with Teresa. So please submit any questions you have. We can have her back on. We can do a special event. But let's go into what you taught me on the Marco Polo. Can you kind of give us a brief overview of that breathing exercise or meditation? What do you even call it?
I don't know. I do kind of know. I like to think of it as a way into your body. I also love this. Remember I said it's an automatic part of our body? We are so amazingly designed, and we don't have to think about doing this. It happens all the time. If we get into our body, we will get out of our thoughts. If we get out of our thoughts, we stop thinking, ruminating, worrying, the feelings. So back to what we need to do. What I taught you has everything to do with your senses. I just basically said, let's pay attention to what we're gathering so that the autonomic nervous system can help us with the way that we respond. We don't have to try to change it. We just have an opportunity to use what we can control. Close my eyes, I will listen better. I close my eyes, I won't see the bad behavior in my family member. I don't have to leave the room. I can look down because it takes out one of my senses, which will gather too much information and overwhelm my processing center, and I'm likely to respond in a way I wished I hadn't. So closing the eyes helps. Then you can listen a little better. Close your eyes. Focus on the fact that you will be noticing your breath. And we're going to start by noticing how air comes into our bodies. We are gathering air, and that also is a gathering moment. We have receptors in our nose that are connected to little tiny hairs. We have receptors in our mouth that will notice or gather air coming in. They'll feel it like it's a mechanical sort of process. So breathing in through your nose or your mouth, see if you can feel air coming in. See, like notice. You can do it through your nose or through your mouth. I like to say, try to use just your nose and close your mouth. And if you can't do that comfortably, it's okay. Use both. Just see if you can notice it coming in. And now add another aspect of information about your face to your brain. Make a little grin. Smile while you're breathing in. Does it feel any different? Did you get more data points for your brain? In fact, you did. Now your brain thinks you're happy. Whether you are or not, doesn't matter. You can trick your brain. So breathing in, I feel air. Grinning, I feel happy. You have receptors, neurological fibers that are, we call it innervating. And then they're bringing information to your brain. You're processing it. Then the information goes back. It's called a motor nerve. That creates a muscle action. We're doing it in our face with this breathing in, smiling, noticing. What do my eyes, while they're closed, see? Dark? You're noticing your body. All of a sudden, you have forgotten about blah, 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 day in your body. Now notice the bones that are around your lungs. They have muscles near them. Can you feel movement in your chest? Your ribs move. There's lots of directions they can move in. They may move up. They may move out to the side. Can you notice both of them, one of them? It takes concentration. Keep your eyes closed. I caught it. Like, I caught my breath. I notice it. Now go to the bottom of your rib cage. See if you can feel a specific kind of action. Your ribs get pulled out to the side and down into your abdomen. Try and find that muscle movement that's going on in your body. While you breathe in through your nose, while you grin, if you caught that action, even for a moment, congratulations. That is not easy to do. If you stayed with it for a moment, great. If you need to try again, try again. And then for the sake of like our audience, the time, I'm just going to say that was a fantastic neurological event because, and I'll just now use my fancy words, your trigeminal nerve innervates in your nose and your mouth. It tells your brain that you are safe and you have air. Go ahead, breathe. Circulate the blood throughout your whole body. Get it to your toes. Give it a good pump. I have a lot of air that just came in. That's what I saw in my brain. And it told my phrenic nerve to innervate my diaphragm, which is the largest muscle of breath. It pulled your rib cage down and out to create big breath, as opposed to my scalene's doing all the work and my intercostal muscles doing all the work. I have a big muscle that does a big job with this, and we don't use it most of the time because we're in the sympathetic nervous system in fight or flight, just keeping it going. It's hard to use your diaphragm if you're not feeling safe. You're lying down with a lamb. You're not fleeing from a lion. That's what happens. People who come massage, you have to get into rest and digest in order for your muscles to relax. That's what I do. And that's what I love about teaching about this in this moment. We can do it on the massage table. We can do it in our car. We can do it in a quick moment. We can do it when we're trying to fall back to sleep.
Thank you, Teresa. I can listen to you guide me to breathe pretty much all day long. I think what I want to do now in order to make this a really accessible tool for our audience is create sort of a good, better, best. What you just walked us through would be the best version. We may not have enough time, energy, resources to do that. And so I want to go to the opposite side, which would be the good version. And I will say for myself, the good version, I remember I went to walk up the stairs and I caught myself. I could tell I was breathing really shallow. So I just stood still for just a second and I imagined, well, I didn't imagine my diaphragm because honestly, I can't really picture what that looks like. But I imagine it almost like a lever, like a bellows or something. Like I imagined this lever, like I imagined it moving down to like pull the air all the way through. So I didn't necessarily take the time to go through the best version of imagining the oxygen coming in my nose. And I didn't slow down that fast, but I at least just managed to think about where the breath was going, how deep it was going. So does that sound like a good version?
If what I just did was best, what you just talked about was better. And then good, I would say good is closing the eyes, breathing through the nose, and don't worry about the body. Like, don't worry about the lungs. They're always telling me to focus on this, the chest, what rise and fall of your breath. That's actually what keeps me in it. It came in somewhere first. How about I focus on first step? I'm aware of my nose and my mouth. I would say close your eyes, breathe in through your nose when you're on like in the middle of the stairway as a mommy. Close your eyes, breathe through your nose, close your mouth, smile.
That's it. That would be an amazing step. And it doesn't take long to do that.
Because like
your body
that.
Will do the rest.
Okay. So yeah, that's actually great. I like we're developing this in real time. So the good version. So think almost top down. Just close your eyes for a second. And then just think about the air coming in through your nose. And then grin a little bit. Happy grin. And then the next level up would be to layer in that breath coming all the way in down, like through the body. And then to layer it, the next would be to put all of those together.
Well, I think that's like varsity. I don't know. I mean, it is hard for me to do that. I might be able to do that. I mean, maybe I'm not giving people enough credit. I like to visualize the physiology. Maybe I'm trying to think of it too complicated, but if any part of that helps, that's what's so great about it.
Well, and as a bonus feature, what hopefully will happen, knock on wood, Lacey's technical wizard, is we will be able to have a standalone guided meditation because we don't have to remember all of this. We can use our resources by pushing play and listening to Teresa guide us through this because, yeah, to remember all of that is a lot. So the takeaway, I'm going to make it really small and simple. We went big and we're going to come back real small. A lot happens in our day and we get overstimulated, overwhelmed, just a lot. And we can use breath as a tool to help us feel better. And there are a lot of great physiological reasons. It's not woo-woo. There is actually a lot of complicated varsity level things happening in the body that Teresa touched on. I liked that bit about the trigeminal nerve, how the breathing is actually really giving input. We give our body so much input. And so that breathing that we have control over can input some calm. And I think of that phrase outside in and inside out. And what I heard you saying was from the in, like we can make a choice about our breath inside that will make things feel different going out into the world. Does that sound like
that
a good summary?
Great. Yes.
And I also want to say, side note, I recently got one of those fancy town watches that can tell me what my heart rate is. And I was reading about the lower your resting heart rate is, it's considered healthier, the lower it is. And so I was using my breathing to see how I could lower my heart rate. So now I have this kind of new goal of controlling my breath to see where I can get my heart rate to. So if that gives somebody else purchase, if you like that kind of gamification of thank you, Teresa. Thank
you
for sharing your morning with us. Thank you for sharing everything you've learned, your wonderful insight. You are part of the joy ripple in this world, helping people in all the ways you do. And so I hope you feel thanked and appreciated for all that you do.
And because my word of the year, one of my two, is receive. Thank you, Sarah.
That was such a beautiful time talking with our friend and loyal village member, Teresa. She is all of the things. She is now an expert guest. She is a village member. And she was also on season two. So Teresa might as well be the mascot for Joyful Support Movement.
I mean, Teresa, in my mind, yes, she's the best. She sends me messages when she likes what I write in the newsletter. Like, she is a fave here, for sure.
I thank her for sharing her knowledge. She, as you heard in the episode, she has always been curious about the body, how the body works. She went to massage school, not to learn how to become a massage therapist, because she truly, after working in medical industry for a while, wanted to understand how the body worked. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. Her massages are truly magical because she interprets and understands what's going on in your own body better than you do. And she understands what the body needs. And so Teresa is magical with her hands and her knowledge and understanding. And so it was such a gift for her to share this knowledge about breathing. And I did give you a little teaser in the beginning that I wanted to tell you how I have been using this. So I know we got a little technical. We we went a little deep. And that's what I like to do. It's that zoom in, zoom out tool. Like we got really in the weeds there with some stuff. And some people, that's going to be really interesting. And some people are going to just kind of blank stare. That's too much. How I've been using the tool, we zoomed back out and we just, I don't know if that's in or out. In feels like you're looking at the details. Out feels like we're going very general. So when Teresa said, notice, not think, but just notice when the air is coming in through your nose. So to me, if we have to break this down to one simple, simple step, that is it. And for me, I hold my breath a lot. I make a list of 1,000 things in the morning. I get going. I get chugging, chugging, chugging like a steam train down the tracks. And I'm just going so fast that I notice I'm holding my breath. And what I end up doing is I breathe really shallow and then my muscles get tight. And then for those of you who have been listening also know I've been dealing with face hives because that is my body telling me I got too much stress in my brain. So I'm using that tool that she said about just noticing the oxygen coming in my nose. And what I like about it is it's so accessible. It's so simple. It's so easy. I can do it while I'm doing other things. I don't actually have to stop. But when I do it, I do instantly relax. And it's like good, better, best, right? If I want to take it to the next level, I'll close my eyes and take another breath and just notice. And then if I want to go best, good, better, best. If I want to go best, I close my eyes, I take the breath, and then I actually notice the oxygen like coming like all the way in. Like you actually can expand your belly as you breathe. But honestly, just noticing the oxygen come in my nose, it has helped me relax. And I know it's helped me relax because I've laughed so much more this past week. I've been laughing so much more. So I know it's working for me. Just thinking about how powerful this podcast is, there is no shame in going back to the basics and learning about something you think you already know about and learning it in a different way, in a new way, and learning it in a way that it's a tool that's going to help you. And that's what we want to do here. And I'm so excited that this was the first episode of the year, right? Because breathing's so fundamental and it's so powerful. And I'm trying not to get distracted by the amazing cuteness of Miss Violet laughing. Like, and that's such a great example. Like babies don't hold their breath from stress.
They do not.
They let it all out.
If they're crying really hard, sometimes they do. So there is that moment. But in the day to day, no, they do not do that.
So I'm so thankful for this tool. And again, we always say if this helps one person and it already helped me, so mission accomplished. But if it can help another person find 1 millisecond of relaxation in their day, of just noticing that breath coming in their nose, then we've mission accomplished, and I am happy. And I think it's going to help more than one person, though.
I love that. Well, let's go into our moment of gratitude. I would like to go first, and I'm trying to figure out how to say this without like being one of those people like we're working on stuff behind the scenes, and they're so cool and all this stuff. We are working on something behind the scenes, and it's very technical. And if you know me at all, and if you've listened to this podcast, you know I love figuring out technology, all right? And I've always wanted, I don't know if I want to say I've always wanted to be like a coder, but I've always loved diving in deeper into something, understanding something when it comes to technology and all this different stuff. And I have been doing that consistently, like for the past 3 days. And it is feeding my creative soul in a way that I don't even know how to describe. I call it the Nerd Olympics, too, where I figure out the logic of something to make it do like what I want. It's just, it has been so much fun. And I, of course, can't wait to share it with all of our listeners and villager members and just the world. But I'm enjoying the process right now, man. It is fun. It is fun for me. It does feel a little bit, I said this to both Sarah and my mom yesterday. It does, in the Parks and Rec episode where Ben White is doing claymation and he's like, do you see what I did? And it's like a 3-second video. It does feel a little bit like that because there's so much that happens in the background that once it gets to the foreground, it doesn't look as exciting, but it's okay. It is amazing and I'm enjoying it.
And what Lacey said to me specifically was, I'm following my excitement. And to me, that is such a key term because if anyone remembers Erin, who we've had on as an expert, she taught me as a coach to follow your excitement. And when you said that, I was just like, yep, go with it. Spend as much, because other things weren't happening because she was following your excitement. And I'm like, yes, follow your excitement. That's what we're here to do. And so that really lit me up.
And if there's something I'm good at, it's being excited. I that is a strength I have. So let's make it happen.
And my moment of gratitude. Wait, what do we call them?
Yeah, moment of gratitude.
Moment of gratitude. This is actually a little bit of a what do you call it? Like a live update for Lacey with our audience. I know. Okay, so let's back up. So we are so thankful here at Joyful Support Movement that we have an angel investor who believes in the work that we're doing, who sees the vision of us helping others and creating that joy ripple. So we are so, so thankful and blessed at this opportunity. And part of that blessing and following my excitement is there is a lady on Threads who I have been, oh my gosh, what do I call it? It's like following almost like a little puppy dog. Like I'm like, what little treats is she going to drop? Like, I just love her writing. It has always resonated with me. And Lacey sent me an email about a writing story. I'm so excited. I can't say my words. Story creation. And you share your own story as a way of sharing what your company is and what you're doing, but putting yourself into it, which is something I am not good at. I hold everything very, very close. I'm not great at opening up unless you ask me very direct questions. So Lacey sent me about this, and we are able to use our angel investors' support to send me to a storytelling class, virtually story, with this woman who I've been in awe of for a year. I know her first name is Mackenzie, and I actually forgot her last name. Don't worry, you will hear about it again. And what's cool too is I also learned this decision-making tool of excitement, nervousness, and dread. And I'm actually really nervous because it's pushing me outside of my comfort zone, but I'm excited. I don't have any dread. So sometimes when we get nervous, we think maybe it's not the right decision, but I'm learning to like look for, is there any dread? No, I'm just super freaking nervous because I don't know how to talk about myself and not feel like I am trying to make myself the center of attention. Like, I just don't know how to do that. So super excited. It's going to start in February. It's once a week. And I'm going to learn how to insert more of my own. Like, how did this company, this business come to be? What happened in my life to get us here? And I'm hoping that will resonate with people and we will connect with our ideal audience of people that we can support and help. I know, Lacey's so happy.
I'm so excited for you, Sarah. I'm excited for us because I've said this to Sarah before, but listening to Sarah talk about the Joyful Support Movement is magical to me. And I think other people get that too. And so anything that we can do to make you feel more comfortable doing that, let's do it. I like to refer to Sarah as the heart of JSM, like the brain, and she's like the heart. And any way we can show that heart to more people, heck yeah. Yeah.
I am very excited.
Well, I think we need to end this episode, Sarah.
Yes.
Well, so much gratitude and joy happening here. So thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Lacey. And thank you, Miss Violet.
Thanks for hanging out with us today. I hope this gave you a little bit of permission, a little bit of possibility, and maybe even a spark of, oh, I can try that. Remember, we're not looking for the right step, just your next step, and you don't have to figure it alone. We're in it together. If you do have a question for a future episode, whether it's about home management, budgeting, boundaries, gift getting, etiquette, whatever, literally anything, and you're not sure where to turn, submit it at joyfulsupportmovement.com/submit. And if you want more support like this, come join us in the Joyful Support Village. It's where the conversation continues, and you'll find a whole community of people navigating the messy middles of life right alongside you. We'll catch you next time. No shoulds, no shame, just possibilities.